This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. I am your host, Matt King, and today I'm joined with Mike Sheffer.
Hey, Matt.
The other co-host.
Yeah.
The better half. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. After my little incident and long day yesterday, I'm doing well.
You had an incident yesterday? Oh, yes.
A little bit of a car mix up with a crazy aggravated driver.
Hey, explain what happened to the people.
I'm going to not, just in case insurance needs to get involved for what happens. But long story short, it's my first ever experience with like a car accident or any sort of driving incident in LA, thankfully. But someone was doing a little bit of aggravated driving and caused a little bit of a fender bender. We'll see what happens from there.
No, as you should. It's a crazy person. Truly.
Yeah, he was definitely not living his best life.
You know what? But I kind of admire people who are that like kind of crazy.
That can flip someone off in the middle of the street.
Or I guess I just could never have the balls to like even yell at somebody. Even if someone ran into me. It wouldn't even be in myself to yell at them. Like, what is your problem, dude?
I go in like instantly to a calm state when something like that happens. You just go,
are you okay?
Yes, that's the first thing I ask. And he says, you motherfucker, are you fucking kidding me? You're fucking dead and you're in big trouble now. It's like as if the character of Jeff, when he's angry, was like a real 50-year-old crazy person.
Right.
Screaming at me in the middle of like a very pedestrian suburban street.
Yeah.
Wasn't on the highway. It was like, but thankfully we're all okay.
We're all good. All safe. Enough about car stuff.
Why don't we explain to the good people where we've been and why we haven't posted a podcast in a couple of weeks. We had Jason on and then we tried to do another podcast, but why don't you explain what happened
okay,
here?
So for the people who don't know, Mike and I were in Italy about 2 weeks ago now. We were there for a wedding for our good friend and my other manager, Jared Oringel, got married to the lovely Alexa in Italy. And we went there, me, Patricia, Mike, and Whitney. And
a couple's trip.
It was really nice. You know, we went to Rome and Florence and
we posted all of it on Instagram. If you follow Matt on Instagram, I'm sure you saw all Matt, Patricia posting all the stuff on Instagram.
I always feel bad though, like when I'm in a different country, because like you're like, you know, yes, you're in this place of paradise and you want to share it, but I feel so bad for all the people who are watching it thinking like, okay, we get it. You're in Italy.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that all social media though? Is like, hey, here's the highlight reel, maybe a little bright. You know, you're not a guy who's flexing, right? That's not a flex that you're doing. You're sharing the happiness that you're having.
Right.
There's a fine line.
We had such a good time though, where everyone's asking like, how was Italy? And it's almost like, I don't know, you don't want to brag about it. And
someone once asked Jerry Seinfeld, they were like, oh, so your family went to Italy. How was that? And he goes, we ate all the most incredible food, did all the most amazing things, and had the most wonderful time. We went to Italy. I'm Jerry Seinfeld. What would you expect? Like, yeah, that's what happens when you go on a nice trip. We're fortunate enough to be able to have that experience.
And right.
It was, I thought you were going to meaning like for the Italians that were just like posting in front of the Trevi Fountain and being like touristy.
Oh, no. I just didn't want to rub it in the people's faces. I wish everyone listening was there. That's how good of a time it was.
I wish you
could experience it. But when we were there, we did attempt. And we actually attempted.
We did. We did two different installments
of a podcast. We recorded it at the wedding.
On like, my iPhone. We were like passing my iPhone back and forth.
We did it during the cocktail hour ceremony and before the reception and before the dinner.
Yes.
And
it was like before I did the officiating, right?
No, it was after.
Oh, after the officiating. Okay.
It was after. And we even included our girlfriends on it. But guys, I knew when we were recording it that we were way too intoxicated.
Well, that was in this. We did like 7 minutes during the cocktail hour, and then we had to like go inside for the dinner or whatever. And then after the dinner, when we were all a little bit intoxicated, we were like, let's finish the podcast. And we went outside and just handed the phone between the four of us. And we were just like screaming, and it was loud. And like, we were making any, I listened back to it and I was like, we cannot put this out.
Yeah.
It
was no way.
It was chaos.
Maybe one day we'll release it. If we start a Patreon and if you like pay the ultimate tier, you can get the drunken episode that we recorded in Italy. But I think we're going to try to cover all of those bases and stuff that we talked about. But yeah. We went to Italy. First place we went to was Rome.
Yes. Roma. Which I've never been to Italy. You've been before.
I've been to Italy twice, but I had never been to Rome.
Oh, okay. So it was a new experience for you too.
Definitely.
A lot of walking.
A lot of walking. I was getting shin splints by day two.
Yeah.
Like I should have prepped before. Like just walked around my neighborhood and do laps. And if you guys ever go to Italy, stretch, walk, prepare. It is a hike, man.
Especially in like Rome, which is an ancient city. So the streets are like mostly cobblestone. It's uneven.
Oh, yeah. You know, like at Disneyland where like where the tram is, like that goes the trolley that goes through and there's that little divot and you like sometimes people like walk over it and you always like trip and fall.
Yeah.
That's like every there's a divot everywhere you walk in Rome. So it's
like
hard
you're
to
hiking
act
all
cool
day. Yeah.
You're just tripping the entire time.
And it's a lot of hills, and like the sidewalks aren't that wide. So you're kind of like hopping between cars and people. And I think we put in like 20,000 steps to 30,000 steps every day for like 4 days straight. And you just, yeah, just if you do go travel to Italy, prepare to get, bring your best walking shoes.
Yeah. And save some money for a foot massage.
Oh, that's a funny story with Patricia.
Oh, yeah. Patricia was like so set on getting a foot massage. And she, but like the place that had the best foot massage in Florence was like across the river.
It was like another mile away.
It was another mile. And it's tough when like, you know, you can look up businesses and it can be open or closed. But like in Italy, you do not know.
Especially with COVID times too. It's like you don't know what their hours are, if they're closed permanently. Yeah.
Yeah. And poor Patricia walked all the way there. Just to get told that they were closed or they were fully booked.
Oh, yeah. You needed a reservation. That's what it was.
And then she had to walk all the way back.
Without getting the foot massage.
And then just demanded a foot massage from me. And
but we saw all the sights. We saw, was the Trevi Fountain in Rome or that's in Florence?
Rome.
Yeah. And then you found a very good travel hack, Matt.
Yes.
The TikTok travel hack.
You know what? TikTok is amazing because it's becoming my new Google or like my new Reddit.
Your search results and search references.
So if you're about to go to a city, instead of like searching on like Google.
Travelocity or cool things to do.
Look up just cool things on TikTok in Rome. And there's tons. And I found this really cool one that basically takes you underneath all the aqueducts that that supply the water for the Trevi Fountain. And it was really cool. I got to pull out the TikTok and followed it like bit by bit. It was behind this little hidden alley. We spent, I don't know, what, €5 to go in. We were the only people there. We got to go underground and see all of these, I don't know, we have water.
Like the underneath the Trevi Fountain. The Trevi Fountain is like this big, beautiful fountain with marble statues, and it's a big building. I'm sure there's a whole history, which we didn't, I didn't catch on this trip, but underneath, yeah, it's apparently what happened was they were trying to build a theater across from the Trevi Fountain, and when they started to do the excavation, they found this old city and these ruins that were like even more of the fountain's underground system of how it works. So you basically like, and there's no one there. No one knew about this. It was, you know, we were like the only people in there. It's very cool experience. Very major props to you for doing the research and preparing via TikTok.
Thank you, Mike.
As a reference for looking things up when you travel.
And that's the best is when you find the stuff that's like off the beaten path, you know, like it's the stuff.
Have you seen TikToks of people who are like, okay, so we planned a trip to France and then they like literally list out 7:15 to 7:20. We're going to have coffee in the lounge. And then we go from 7:15 to 7:30.
Yes.
That stresses me out more than anything.
Oh yeah. Itineraries.
No.
No, nobody wants an itinerary.
But some people do. Some people like in the comments of that, it's like very split. Some people are like, oh my God, this is the best way to travel. You know what you're going to do. You have your reservations set. You know, you're going to see everything. Like some people thrive on an itinerary when they travel because they don't want to end up like you know, walking around for 2 hours to only sit down at a Subway because they couldn't find a restaurant in Rome, which is not really ever going to be the case.
Yeah.
But I think we're both very similar in that regard.
I do regret, though, not seeing some of the main tourist attractions, like not going into the big museums and seeing those pieces of art. And I think mostly it was because Patricia had studied abroad in Italy, so she had seen it. You and Whitney wanted to go off and, you know.
Yeah, we did split up a little bit during the days, which was good. But Rome was great. Food, obviously incredible. I went to the Jewish quarter, which they call the ghetto, which is a little funny, but...
oh, yeah. You got hooked at the Jewish quarter. Like, we didn't see you for, like, a bit because you had all your kosher wine.
It's a pretty interesting experience. I've never, like, been to a Jewish area that isn't either in the United States, like New York or L.A., where there's a lot of Jews, or Israel. Like, you know, you go to the Bahamas, you go to Puerto Rico, you go to Bonaire... There's not really like a lot of Jewish history there. So it's cool to be in a place where there's Jewish history. And you got to see His Holiness, the Pope.
The Pope. Yes, I got to see the what's his name? The fuck. It's not the Pontiff. Not the Pontiff.
Tony, what's his name? Anthony?
Francis. Pope Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Patricia and I decided we wanted to go to the Vatican because I'm baptized Catholic. I'm not an active, like, big Catholic, and I am very...
non-denominational?
Yes, and I'm also very skeptical and critical of the Catholic Church, so by no means am I, like, endorsing the Catholic Church. But I wanted to see the Pope. The most influential man in the entire world who is not a, how would I say, celebrity or a musician.
An entertainer.
Yeah.
He's not a classical entertainer.
Yeah, he's the closest person to God, to the Catholic faith.
To many people, yeah.
And so we went to the Vatican, and it was so interesting seeing the amount of people that show up for him.
Yeah.
And all different types of people, all different walks of life.
And it happens every Sunday, is that what it is?
Every Sunday, depending on where he's at.
Like, oh, he tours around a lot.
He's on tour, man. The Pope has places to be, people to bless.
Pope.com/tix. Yeah. Use code David for 20% off on SeatGeek.
Get all of his sets, for sure. So yeah, we went there, we got to see him, and got blessed. And
oh, you got blessed? He does a whole...
He blesses the crowd.
Did you do the cross thing?
Where, yes.
You put the nose, toes, watch, and wallet? Is that what it is?
Is it nose?
Toes, watch, wallet.
I mean, it's you know, it's like your forehead, your chest, a cross, and then the other shoulder.
Yeah. Nose, toes, watch, wallet. It's like making the cross. Isn't that the phraseology for, like, the mnemonic device?
I guess you're right, but you're watching your... Oh, guess because your watch is on left one side.
And you're...
Damn.
That's what I've heard. I don't know. Maybe that's just... something I saw in, like, an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm or something. So that was cool.
Yes.
Then we went to Florence.
Yeah.
We
took a train to Florence. And then we got there. I liked Florence. I think I get so tossed on, like, everyone's like, which did you like more, Florence or Rome? At times I liked Rome, and at times I liked Florence.
I saw a good thing about... Sorry. A lot of people like to ask questions as superlatives, like, what's your favorite song, or what's your favorite this? And a good interviewing tip is not to ask the superlative of, like, what's the best or what's your favorite. It's, like... what movie have you seen the most, or what TV show have you been watching the most, or what band do you listen to the most, versus, like, a favorite? Because a favorite is not really answerable, but if you ask a question that's like, you can answer it quantitatively. Oh, I listen to the Mars Volta the most. That's more interesting way to ask someone a question rather. Oh, Florence or Rome? It's like, right. Which one? Yeah. Anyway, so we had a good time in Italy. I was the officiant, the rabbi for the wedding, and that's the first time I ever did that, which was cool. So Matt got to see me do all the blessings, be underneath the chuppah, as they call it, and we had a good time in Italy.
A funny, like, cool experience that happened when we were in Florence. Patricia was really set on going to, like, this speakeasy called
a specific one.
Yeah, a specific. It's called Rasputin. And this particular night in Florence, it was raining, like pouring down rain. And this was across this bridge that we had to.
It was a little bit far from the Airbnb, and it was like 8 p.m. and you guys were, like, gonna go out for the night. Me and Whitney were gonna stay in, and you were.
She was very adamant about it.
But it was pouring rain.
Yes, and stores are shutting up, and it's a weekday night. Like,
it was like a Monday, I think.
Yeah, it was like a Monday. There's no nightlife. And the whole time I'm like, Patricia, well, where are we going? And we're going deep, deep, far into Florence. And we go into this piazza.
Yeah. I think that's the term.
Hopefully, yeah. A piazza. I know my Italy is fading from me.
I still say grazie when someone hands me a bill at the restaurant.
When I came back to America, I was still saying grazie. And we go up to this, and I look on the maps, and I'm like, it's not here. There's no bar that
exists
here. There's
no door. There's no sign.
And then we go up to these two other people and go, hey, do you know where Rasputin is? They're like, you're trying to get into Rasputin? Are you trying to find it? We're like, yeah. And they go, okay, keep going down this street, turn in this back alley, follow it, and then you're going to find this red door. We go down the sketchiest alley. There is nothing, not a shop or a shop light in sight. And it just seems like all apartments. And we walk up, and we knock on this red door. There's nothing. And I'm like, okay, it's closed. And I look in the windows. Nothing's there.
Pitch black, can't see anything.
And then we kind of start walking away, and then this other couple walks up. And I'm like, are y'all looking for Rasputin? And they go, yeah, we are. And then they just open up the door. And we're like, okay.
It was unlocked?
It was unlocked. Oh. We thought it was locked or something.
Yeah.
And we enter it, and it's pitch black. It looks like the beginning of walking into the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just this spooky. There's a hostess stand. Nobody there. And then this guy just hits this bell. And
Are these Americans that you're with?
So, yeah, they were Americans.
Okay.
This other couple. And they come up, and he goes, he looks to Patricia, and I goes, do you guys have a reservation? And Patricia immediately is like, no. And then the other couple is like, yes, we do. And he goes, okay, for how many? And the guy goes, for four. And then looks at me and Patricia and gives us a wink. And we're like,
what a legend. What?
And then the hostess is like, no, it says two. And he goes, no, it's supposed to be four.
Wow, what a legend.
They take us down there, and there's only eight other people in the room, and they serve
speakeasies are really small usually. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wanting to keep drinking though, but it takes forever for those damn cocktails
because they make these super custom original. But then you kind of, if I remember correctly, you kind of got trapped with
The couple was a sweet couple, but Patricia and I were like, okay, we gotta kind of get out of here
because you're stuck at this table where you can't
yes.
mingle and walk around. It's not like a it's not a party bar. It's kind of you're with who you're with.
And thankfully they were Americans. They were really, really nice.
But you were kind of trying to
we were trying to kind of get out of there. Wrap it up. But they bought the first round. And I'm like, okay, now we have to buy the second round. And by the end, I'm like, let's get out of here.
Yeah. But you got to experience Rasputin.
Yes.
That's good.
It was so cool. And then we went to the wedding, and Mike, you were the officiant, or yes.
A rabbi officiant.
You're not a rabbi.
I'm not a rabbi. Let's call it the officiant. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
The celebrant.
Which is something I've never done before, and I think you've done it before, right? Once?
Yep.
Ordained. So I talked to a couple people, got a little bit of research done, and then the day of the wedding, I thought I was ready for it, and I was going to write up everything, and then it took me 4 hours of full just preparation, making sure I had all the process, because the Jewish wedding, there's a lot of steps to it, like the seven blessings, the circling around, when you do the speech, this and that. So, I mean, you tell me. You're the one who watched from the audience.
You did really, really great.
Thank you.
You did. You were mic'd up all the way, and it was so beautiful because there was this whole band next to you.
And it was in the mountains of this small Italian town. It wasn't in a main area. It was outdoors, perfect weather. But yeah, I mean, I thought I did okay, but I don't know what it was like from the audience.
Oh, well, the thing is, you were mic'd up the entire time. So they're definitely
Jared, take a step over this way.
Yeah, all the little asides you were telling, the bride and groom that you thought we didn't hear, we heard all of it. But it was really sincere and authentic. And I think you did a really, really great job. But, I was so excited for, the breaking of the glass.
Yep.
Where they put the glass on the napkin and they smash it and everyone says mazel tov. And I thought you had pranked them though that you didn't put the glass. So the moment it happened, because you couldn't hear it.
And Jared also missed the first time, which happens, I would say 50% of Jewish weddings you go to, you miss. Like you try and stamp on the glass and it's wrapped up so nicely that you kind of don't break the glass, you just step on cloth. But it was also on grass, and nobody heard it the first time, so everyone was a little bit confused. And it took Jared three or four times, and then he finally did it. And I think I was the one who was like mazel tov, and everyone was like, "Okay, it happened." So they made me mic up the glass.
What was the thing you said though, where they said, depending on how many pieces of glass it breaks into is how many
years the marriage will last. That's okay. It's a saying is, you want to break the glass into as many pieces as the marriage will last, which is call it 1,000 pieces.
So why did they use a light bulb then?
Well, in recent times they started using a light bulb because it breaks a lot easier. And there have been incidents where people have stepped through the glass and they like cuts their feet. And
oh my gosh.
The groom has to be rushed to the hospital right after. So it's more of a safety issue. And also like, yeah, breaking a wine glass can lead to a lot more injury versus like a light bulb, which shatters very easily. And
well, hey, at least they're going to carry you around on a chair after an injury like that.
That was, I'll say, one of the most highlights of the night was when the Hora busted out and you were just floored as if Mickey Mouse came to life.
Yeah, or like Santa Claus like showed up. Because it was my first time witnessing
at a Jewish wedding where you put the bride and groom on the chairs and you lift them up and you do the dance. I wish I had a video of your face, your jaw. I've never seen someone's jaw on the floor with the biggest smile. And it was a great time. It was a good Jewish wedding.
Why do the bride and groom hold like the napkin between them? Does that symbolize anything?
I think it's just like traditional. I don't think it really means anything. But yeah, the wedding was super fun.
And then I had to make it all the way back.
Well, one more thing that we should tell the people about Italy if they go, is there is a 6-hour production of Pinocchio.
Oh, yes. There's a 6-hour production of Pinocchio that...
written by Aaron Sorkin.
Written by Aaron Sorkin.
Who is it directed by?
Aaron Sorkin, I think, also is directing it.
Oh, yeah, he wrote it with Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet, Jeff Daniels.
Yep. I think they have a puppet that they have Pinocchio.
Yeah.
So explain what happens with the nose.
Well, it's 6 hours. And so, but like the thing is, you can come and go as you please, but by the end of the play, his nose is so far at the back of the auditorium.
It hits the back of the theater.
You have to duck.
And it like knocks people drinks over at their tables.
It's a madhouse.
And he keeps lying. Like the story is that he just can't ever tell the truth and never becomes a real boy.
Right.
So by the end of and it's 6 hours, so we were, you know, you leave at like 3 hours in, go get dinner, have a cigarette, come back
and the play is still going.
Okay, obviously that's not true. Okay,
it's not true at all, but we were going around Italy like talking to like the other wedding guests and explaining that we went and saw this 6-hour production.
Who were you telling it to that she was
Alexa?
Like, oh, yeah.
And Alexa was like, oh my god, okay, wow. Like, no questions, no hesitation. She was just like, why would you spend your time seeing that? And I'm like, why aren't you questioning
that it was a 6-hour production? But we also got to see like this movie theater. We put on at the end of the night at the wedding. Do you remember? We did a puppet
Dolce
show.
Vita.
Wait. No, we might have been. You might have been a little gone. We did like a full-blown shadow puppet Pinocchio.
Oh,
like play for Jared at the end of the night.
Oh, where yes.
We shined a flashlight in this dark movie theater, and we had the nose keep growing as the shadow on the wall.
Oh my gosh,
we had a good time. But Pinocchio is like a pretty big deal over there. Every shop has like a little Pinocchio.
Oh, Pinocchio on every corner of every street.
So that was a good bit that we had.
Yeah,
and then we had our Dapper Dan's bit, which I think was like my most viewed Instagram story of all time. It's from Zach Galifianakis,
Between Two Ferns. I think
they get the point. Okay, we had a good time in Italy.
Yeah, and then I had to immediately make it back for another wedding, my best friend's wedding.
Yeah, you flew straight. So you had a car, went from this town, Volterra.
Yeah, we drove, from Volterra all the way to Florence, got on the flight, stopped in Munich, and I was just crossing my fingers that like we were going to get through and make it on this flight because I was so nervous.
You have to deal with COVID tests and vaccination cards and getting your boarding pass.
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot of logistics to traveling internationally now.
Well, made it back for that wedding, and then I had another wedding right after that, nonstop.
So you're a good wedding guest.
I am. I'm a good friend.
Yeah, I mean, showing up to weddings, it's like, especially when they're not in your, it's not like going downtown LA or like going to Santa Barbara. Like traveling for weddings, it's expensive. It's time consuming. It's a schlep.
It is quite a schlep, and you're constantly renting like another tux,
yep.
And you're like,
yep.
Can we just like,
you got to buy one?
I know, but then the groomsmen though, they all want matching tuxes.
Oh yeah, so you know? It's listen, we made it through. Do you have another topic that you wanted to bring up? I wanted to. We started to talk about this yesterday.
Oh,
completely shifting gears. The most wealthy fictional characters
the
of
wealthiest,
all time.
Yeah, the wealthiest fictional characters of all time.
Yes.
And I asked Mike, because I know this pretty well, because I always wonder, because we were watching TV the other day and the Addams Family popped up, and I love the Addams Family, but I'm not a big fan of this animated version that they've been putting out. I just don't think it's really hitting it as well as I want to. But I said they're one of the wealthiest fictional characters. Families of all time. And Mike was like, how the hell wait, what are you talking about? I go, there is like a Forbes list of the wealthiest
fictional characters. And
what did you say?
I thought it was Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Is Batman. The wealthiest you think that he is?
So I believe that it's Bruce Wayne, as I understand it. He, from what I remember, is, I think he has some certain number of billions of dollars. And I think that like they tried to claim that Iron Man, Tony Stark was wealthier. But
he's
really
high up. No, Tony Stark is wealthier.
I think Batman's wealthier.
No, well, I think you're wrong. We'll pull up the list, but okay. You know who the wealthiest is?
I think it's Batman.
No, wrong, Mike.
Who's the wealthiest fictional character?
It's Scrooge McDuck. Scrooge McDuck from the DuckTales.
Are you serious?
Scrooge McDuck
is the wealthiest fictional character
yes.
in fiction.
Yes. And they,
okay, how did he how much is he worth? How did he amass his fortune?
I'm going to pull up the list real quick. 1 second.
I wonder if these fictional characters by this point, like I wonder if Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk have surpassed the fictional characters and their wealth, but you're looking.
Well, how much is Jeff Bezos is more richer than
the fictional characters?
Yes.
That's okay. Crazy. Because there was a time where the fictional characters were more wealthy than the non-fictional characters.
The wealthiest is Scrooge McDuck. He's worth $65.4 billion.
That's crazy because Zuckerberg, Bezos, and Elon Musk are worth like twice that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Tax the rich. AOC.
Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett all have more than Scrooge McDuck
did.
Wait, Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett, all of them made more money than Scrooge McDuck did.
There we go. Bo Burnham, if you're listening.
Second, this one, it doesn't make sense. It's Smaug, which is like the big dragon from Lord of the Rings.
A dragon? What, do you have a bank account with whatever the town is over there?
Well, I don't know because I think I'm not a big Lord of the Rings fan, and please, people, correct us, that Smaug is like was once like a king or something. Or I
maybe
don't know.
He owns the land.
Smaug is worth $54.1 billion.
But he's a dragon.
He's a dragon.
Does he have a debit card? Like, how is he accessing his money?
Where basically, because he's sitting on a pile of gold. That's it.
Gotcha.
So much gold. He has precious stones and diamonds encrusted in his belly and owns a giant diamond called the Arrakis Stone of Thrain.
Where are you reading this on? Forbes?
The richest, but this is the same thing as Forbes. So after Smaug. Number three.
Can I guess?
I don't feel like you're going to be able to get it. This one's surprising me.
Is it a human being?
Our listeners know.
Is it a human being?
Yes, it's a human being, but partially supernatural.
Okay, I don't know.
It's Carlisle Cullen
from
Twilight. He's the head dad. He's like Edward's dad.
Is that Robert Pattinson?
No. Robert Pattinson is Edward. But his dad is Carlisle.
Right, but not I'm saying his
biological dad. But
is the third wealthiest fictional character.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of the Twilights. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Are they good?
No. No. I read Twilight and New Moon in high school because I wanted to talk to girls about it. And then halfway through the third one, I was like, I'm done. I had an existential crisis.
And then you watched the movies and they weren't your cup of tea.
I even went to midnight premieres for Twilight.
Dude. Oh, man.
Yeah. So it's Carlisle Cullen. He's worth $46 billion. And this is from the richest. Now, number four, it's a musical. Very famous musical.
Annie? About
yes. And what's the guy's name?
That's all.
Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks, $36.2 billion.
It's crazy that these fictional characters have less money than real people. Like, now, I remember when we would read these lists, in the 90s on the internet when they were compile this stuff. Wow, imagine having $50 billion. Nobody had that much money. But
yeah.
Now it's just okay, so is there a human being on this list that's not supernatural?
Well, who's the next guy?
Is
you know.
Bruce Wayne?
No, close.
Tony Stark. He's wealthier than Bruce Wayne?
Yes. Bruce Wayne is very wealthy. Bruce Wayne is a billionaire, but he's almost worth half as much as Tony Stark.
Dang. All right. So I'm not as up to speed on this.
Tony Stark, worth $12.4 billion. Next is from Citizen Kane, Charles Foster Kane, $11.2
Have you
billion.
Seen Citizen Kane?
Yeah. You know what? I know the ending, and I've never seen the beginning.
I don't know anything about it.
You don't?
No, I feel like we should
watch
it.
It's the wealthiest man in the world, and he dies, and he has his famous final words, and they're trying to figure out what those words mean.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be considered the best movie of all time, right?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
I'll have to put it on the list. Okay.
Okay. And then it's Bruce Wayne is number 7 at 9.2 billion. Number 8, Richie Rich.
Okay. That's, I mean,
5.8.
The name makes sense.
And then Christian Grey from 50 Shades of Grey, number 9 at 2.5 billion. And 10 from The Simpsons, Montgomery Burns.
Oh.
1.5.
Did you know that Conan O'Brien is the creator of that character?
No way.
Yeah, Conan O'Brien used to write on The Simpsons for like the early seasons, and he created the character of Mr. Burns. That's his character.
That's so appropriate.
And he also wrote one of the most famous episodes, Marge versus the Monorail.
Did you know Lorik? That's my favorite Simpsons episode.
That's written by Conan O'Brien.
Monorail.
Conan wrote that.
Wow.
Did you know that Jason Nash is on an episode of The Simpsons?
No way.
Yes.
How did I not find that in my research when we
I sent him on Instagram like a funny Simpsons clip, and then he sent me a voice and I'm like, did you know that I was on an episode of The Simpsons like 10 years ago? And I was like, explain everything about this to me. And he was like, yeah, I had some friends who like were working on the show when I was a comedian in Boston, and like they needed a Boston guy for a character. So if you ever look up the episode where like Homer goes to Boston, Jason is one of the characters in that episode.
Whoa.
I haven't looked it up, but yeah, Jason is like on an episode of The Simpsons.
I haven't watched a lot of The Simpsons.
There's
so many episodes.
They're all on Disney Plus. So if you just have Disney Plus, I'll pop them on Saturday morning. Start with like seasons, you know, 2 or 3. I think those are obviously the best ones between like 2 and 8. Any episode, it doesn't matter.
My parents didn't let me watch The Simpsons.
It's literally a family Sunday. Like,
it's just a little too crude. Or they just
the
thought, like,
Simpsons?
Well, yeah.
I think your parents might have been misinformed. That's like, it was on Sunday night at 8 p.m. It's like the most family friendly time slot.
No, it's not a family friendly show. It's
yes,
a little
it is.
Crude and mature. I mean,
no, South Park is crude and mature.
Oh no, yeah, I got in trouble for drawing a picture of South Park at like my daycare, and I didn't even watch the show.
But the characters are so like easy to draw. Yeah,
like, anybody could draw them. And a kid from David Isaacs would talk about the South Park all the time, and he would like tell me like how foul and inappropriate it was, and he would draw them, and I'm like, I want to do that.
And then you got in trouble for drawing it?
Like, where did you watch this show?
Yeah.
They sat me down, like, where did you hear? I was like, this kid David told me about it.
Because that show was fucking crazy to watch as like an 8-year-old. I remember watching one episode. It is the very first episode of South Park. Aliens come from outer space and shove a probe up Cartman's ass. And that's the whole premise of the episode, is that this guy has an alien shoving something up his ass. That's the very first episode. So it's understandable that like parents would not want their 8-year-olds watching
it. You know the name of the bride that my best friend John just got married to? You know her last name is?
Cartman?
Kilkenny.
Really?
Kilkenny.
That's real. That's actually a town in Ireland. Kilkenny, Ireland is a town.
And there's Killarney.
Yeah. But Kilkenny, that's a great last name. Because he dies in every episode.
I know, you don't want to make those jokes around them because they're like, I know.
We get it, yeah. You have something else? Right?
Well, I just never knew that Laura Croft from Tomb Raider is a billionaire. 1.3, because she just finds all the ancient artifacts and stuff.
All right, shifting gears to our final topic. I saw you recently got beat up by Jeff on Instagram.
Dude.
Can you explain what happened here?
Y'all, this is what happened. So Jeff has created his new line of Jeff's Barbershop products. It's a pomade and a texture spray, which I love, especially the texture spray. I had been using it on the low while it was in its testing or its beta phase.
We had a couple bottles that he gave to us when he was like still working
on it. So I was so excited to finally get my hands back on this. And Jeff says, hey, I'm coming by.
For the PR, the press package.
Which normally any time an influencer does a little launch like that and brings it by your house, it's an easygoing thing. You're celebrating. Woo!
Yeah.
Congrats.
You get excited. They post the Instagram story, you opening the box.
We walk out and it's Jeff there with this leather jacket and this fake cigarette. And he has his whole posse with him.
Yeah.
Just these tough, brash.
New York.
Staten Island, is that where he's from?
Yeah.
Staten Island guys.
Yeah. Bullies.
Bullies. Just like threatening me to post on my Instagram story to share the product or whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, for sure. And it's like, I open it up and there's a rat trap. And it's like, listen, Matt, you rat fuck. Like, you better post this on your story.
Oh, my
gosh. Or I'm going to come get you. And I'm like laughing. I'm like, all right, yes, sir, whatever. And these guys start just
beating you up?
But yes.
Like, actually?
Yes. One guy first kind of, like, jabs me in, on my side, and I'm like, oh, okay. Very like, funny, guys. Yeah. And then they throw me to the ground, and I'm going with the bit. I'm laughing.
Yeah.
And then one of the dudes just socks me right in my chest.
Oh, my God.
Dude, the wind is knocked out of me. And I, like, you know when it's like,
yeah, you're, you, like, you can't breathe.
But like, you're still laughing for, like, the bit.
Yeah.
And then I,
but you're like, I'm injured.
Yeah, but I didn't want to, like,
bitch out on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And dude, and I walk back in the house, like, after I'm like, all right, I'm gone. I'm done with this. I open up my shirt and it's just red. You can still see, like, the knuckle marks
from where
this guy punched me. And still right now, when, like, I touch my chest, like, right here, it's, like, bruised.
Oh my God.
I'm fine. I'm okay.
Did Jeff even post it? It looked like
Todd posted a little clip of when I was, like, down on the ground, but I know Todd probably has the footage of me just getting socked right in the sternum.
And Jeff didn't even, I didn't even see Jeff post it. It was just Todd.
Oh, I'm going to be very, well, I decided not to post it. You know what, Jeff? I'm not going to share your product. I'll tell the people right now, yo, if you're looking for a good sea salt texture spray,
love it.
Highly recommend
it. Smells good.
Patricia even uses it. It's great. Because hairspray, you can only use that so much, and it's not the best thing for your hair. Sea salt spray, it's a great hold, and his smells good. It's awesome.
Sandalwood.
This is my endorsement right now for Jeff, okay?
Yep.
But I took it out of the package. I was like, oh, crap, I forgot to take a photo or, like, film a video for it. But you know what? I'm not going to post it because I'm in pain. I'm in pain in my chest. Jeff, I forgive you, buddy.
Is that what the big mousetrap on your desk right now is from?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a gigantic mousetrap on your desk, like a real one.
Oh, it's a rat trap for sure. It's not a mouse trap.
Yeah, it is.
It's for rats.
It's like called, like, Tomcat. Meat. It's like a real brand.
When I opened it up and it was there, I was so worried it was, like, set. Like I was going to put my hand in, like, I don't know. I love Jeff, but man, his posse, no thank you. No thank you.
Okay, well, I think we can...
But we can wrap it up,
yeah.
Because right now, after this, Jason is coming over and he wants us to film a candy bowl video with him.
Yeah, I'm excited. we're like his new taste test.
And my Halloween village is almost done. Maybe by the time this comes out,
this will be out tomorrow. So,
okay. Then, guys, expect it in the next 2 days. It's basically all done. I just have to finish the wiring, which is a little intricate, but.
I have to say, it is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen you do. It doesn't put your Christmas village to shame, but I think you've set the bar pretty high for your villages, because the amount of detail and, like, handmade work that you've put on this village, aside from, like, the organization and buying the right pieces and organizing the village itself, like, you created a landscape using this, like, plasterboard and a hot glue gun and paint and, like, all these. It's just, keep an eye on Matt's Instagram this week, next week, and you guys are going to be blown away by this Halloween village. I'm so excited for people to see it.
I'm excited to share it.
But then we'll be back next week on video with Aaron Guilfoy.
Oh, we already revealing who
I think
it is.
For the audio listeners.
You know, if you're listening,
yeah.
And if you guys want to tell your friends, say it's Aaron. And they'll be like, where'd you get this information?
You can say, I met Matt and Mike and they told me.
Just say, go listen to the audio podcast.
Oh, there you go.
All the good B-side stuff.
Yeah, we're all here on audio on Spotify, Apple, Anchor, wherever you're listening. But cool. All right. Thank you guys for listening. And be sure to, you know, check out Matt on Instagram. And
check out Mike on Instagram, too. Mike also went on tour for a little bit. He played, you did a show for Adam.
Yeah, I'm playing next week, 3 more.
So in which cities?
Indianapolis, Detroit, and Toronto.
So guys, look up Adam Melcher. He's our good friend, Mike's roommate, and talented musician.
I'll be playing drums at those shows.
He'll be playing so yeah, grab your tickets if you're in those areas. Go say hi to Mike for those for those cities specifically. The other ones, he will not be there.
But go support Adam because he's our good friend.
Yes.
Go see him on tour. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.